If you would all please open to number 442 in your hymnal and join in the responsive reading that will serve as our call to worship this morning. We bid you welcome, who come with weary spirit seeking rest.
Who come with troubles that are too much with you, who come hurt and afraid.
We bid you welcome, who come with hope in your heart.
Who come with anticipation in your step, who come proud.
We bid you welcome, who are seekers of a new faith.
Who come to probe and explore, who come to learn.
We bid you welcome, who enter this hall as a homecoming.
Who have found here room for your spirit, who find in this people a family.
Whoever you are, whatever you are, wherever you are on your journey.
We bid you welcome.
Now, if you would please join in the unison words of chalice lighting as Laura Cataldo Holmes lights our chalice. Why fit in when you were born to stand out? Please rise as you are able and join in singing hymn number 361. Enter, rejoice, and come in. And please stay standing for the covenant and affirmation.
Going to do the message for all ages, which is a skit called The Town of Colors, written by Henry Stadolnik. In a distant land, there lies a town. It is a curious little place. It is divided into five sections, each a different color. Each group specializes in a different skill.
Our group, the gray one, is good at building strong things.
My group, the red one, can make excellent heating systems.
My group, the blue one, knows all about plumbing.
My group, the green one, is very good at gardening.
And my group, the yellow one, is the only group that knows how to use electricity.
If all of these groups worked together, the town would be a grand place. But, unfortunately, each group dislikes the others and refuses to work with them. At the town center is a town hall with five walls, each a different color and style. One is gray, another red, another blue, another green, and the other is yellow. Each side was built by a different group and used that group's special skill. It is the only project that the groups have ever worked together on. Each group had wanted to make the town hall all alone, but whenever they tried, the other groups complained about what it lacked. For example,
the gray town hall didn't look very good.
The red one was too dark and flimsy.
The blue one was too cold. The green one was too small with too big a yard. And the yellow one had no running water.
So as a compromise, they decided to build it again, but resolved to keep away from each other and only build their own wall. The people were happy to have the new town hall, and each group looked at the other wall with great pride and looked at their own wall with great pride and others with scorn. But one winter, a terrible tragedy occurred. During a heavy snowstorm,
the electricity in the yellow part of town hall went out.
The plants died in the green part.
The plumbing in the blue part froze.
The heating failed in the red part.
And the sturdy gray part crushed the other weaker parts under the weight of the snow.
Each group blamed the others for their own part's failure. But as they argued, they realized that each group's problems could be solved with the help from others. In a grand effort of self-restraint, they forgot about their differences in pride and set out to build the best town hall possible.
The gray group built a sturdy framework.
The red group installed excellent heating.
The blue group installed plumbing and running water.
The green group created beautiful gardens around the building.
And the yellow group set up electric lighting.
When the town hall was finished, the whole town celebrated. The building had come out far better than it had before and had surpassed the people's greatest hopes. It was that day that the people realized that when all of their diverse skills combined, they could do amazing things, and the people of the town lived happily ever after.
This story teaches us an important lesson. When we accept diversity, we can accomplish great feats and become more happy as a whole.
Could you all please join me in meditation? I'm going to lead into the meditation with a quote from Albert Einstein. The human being is part of the whole, called by us the universe, a part limited in space and time. He experiences himself, his thoughts, and feelings, as something separate from the rest, a kind of optical delusion of consciousness. This delusion is a kind of prison for us, restricting us to our personal desires. Our task must be to free ourselves from this prison by widening our circle of compassion to embrace all living creatures and the whole of nature in its beauty. Please join me in a few minutes of silent meditation.
Today we will gratefully accept our offering at this time. Half of our offering will go to the Mass Society for the Prevention of Cruelty to Animals.
Thank you. So, in place of our sermon today, I will be reading from Stone Soup. Three soldiers trudged down a road in a strange country. They were on their way home from the war. Besides being tired, they were hungry. In fact, they had eaten nothing for 2 days. "How I would like a good dinner tonight," said the first. "And a bed to sleep in," said the second. "But all that is impossible," said the third. "We must march on." On they marched. Suddenly, ahead of them, they saw the lights of a village. "Maybe we'll find a bite to eat there," said the first. "And a loft to sleep in," said the second. "No harm in asking," said the third. Now the peasants of that place feared strangers. When they heard that three soldiers were coming down the road, they talked among themselves. "Here come three soldiers. Soldiers are always hungry, but we have little enough food for ourselves," and they hurried to hide their food. They hid all they had to eat. Then they waited. The soldiers stopped first at the house of Paul and Francois. "Good evening to you," they said. "Could you spare a bit of food for three hungry soldiers?" "We have had no food for ourselves for 3 days," said Paul. Francois made a sad face. "It has been a poor harvest." The three soldiers went on to house after house. They got the same answer. "We have nothing to share with you." The villagers stood in the street inside. They looked as hungry as they could. The three soldiers talked together. Then the first soldier called out, "Good people." The peasants drew near. "We are three hungry soldiers in a strange land. We have asked you for food, and you have no food. Well, then, we'll have to make stone soup." The peasants stared. "Stone soup? That would be something to know about." "First, we'll need a large iron pot." The peasants brought the largest pot they could find. How else to cook enough? "That's none too large," said the soldiers, "but it will do. And now, water to fill it and a fire to heat it." It took many buckets of water to fill the pot. A fire was built on the village square, and the pot was set to boil. "And now, if you please, three round, smooth stones." Those were easy enough to find. The peasants' eyes grew round as they watched the soldiers drop the stones into the pot. "Any soup needs salt and pepper," said the soldiers as they began to stir. Children ran to fetch the salt and pepper. "Stones like these generally make good soup, but oh, if there were carrots, it would be much better." "Why, I think I have a carrot or two," said Francois, and she ran off. She came back with her apron full of carrots from the bed beneath the red quilt. "A good stone soup should have cabbage," said the soldiers as they sliced the carrots into the pot. "But no use asking for what you don't have." "I think I could find a cabbage somewhere," said Marie, and she hurried home. Back she came with three cabbages from the cupboard under the bed. "If only we had a bit of beef and a few potatoes, this soup would be good enough for a rich man's table." The peasants thought that over. They remembered their potatoes and the sides of beef hanging in the cellar. They ran to fetch them. A rich man's soup, and all from a few stones. It seemed like magic. "Ah," sighed the soldiers as they stirred in the beef and potatoes. "If only we had a little parsley and a cup of milk. This soup would be fit for the king himself. Indeed, he asked for just such a soup when he last dined with us." The peasants looked at each other. The soldiers had entertained the king. "Well, but no use asking for what you don't have," the soldiers sighed. The peasants brought their parsley, and they brought their milk from the wells. The soldiers stirred the parsley and milk into the steaming broth while the peasants stared. At last the soup was ready. "All of you shall taste," the soldiers said, "but first a table must be set." Great tables were placed in the square, and all around were lighted torches. Such a soup! How good it smelled! Truly fit for a king. But then the peasants asked themselves, would not such a soup require bread and a roast and cider? Soon a banquet was spread, and everyone sat down to eat. Never had there been such a feast. Never had the peasants tasted such soup, and fancy, made from stones. They ate and drank and ate and drank, and after that they danced. They danced and sang far into the night. At last they were tired. Then the three soldiers asked, "Is there not a loft where we could sleep?" "Let three such wise and splendid gentlemen sleep in a loft? Indeed, they must have the best beds in the village." So the first soldier slept in the priest's house, the second soldier slept in the baker's house, and the third soldier slept in the mayor's house. In the morning, the whole village gathered in the square to give them a send-off. "Many thanks for what you have taught us," the peasant said to the soldiers. "We shall never go hungry now that we know how to make soup from stones." In many ways, this community is like the soup in the story. Every one of us has something to give. By giving, we can make the community more interesting. Because we give to the community, we can take from it. The people in the story did this as well. Everyone who gave to the soup could take from it, and by the end, everyone was happy and well fed. Also, by making soup, the people could have something a little more interesting than just a carrot, as tasty as they are separate. In the stone soup, nothing would have happened if it wasn't for the stones. With just a stone, a whole village was convinced to show their diversity and make something wonderful. In our congregation, there are many people who show us how to use our differences to be better as a whole. For the junior and senior youth, these people are Mike, Michelle, and Whitney. So why don't you guys stand up? Thank you so much.
Service, I also find it important to introduce another aspect of diversity. Going back to the cooking metaphors, the human race can be represented by peppers. There are red, green, yellow, orange, and purple peppers, and they all have something to contribute and are very different. But this is the small picture of diversity. If you were to eat an all-pepper soup, you would certainly feel that there was something missing. All of the other foods that could be added represent the animals and the other living beings with whom we share this earth. The birds, the trees, the flowers, and even those not as widely well-liked, such as the squirrels and the mosquitoes, all have an important role to play in the interconnected web of life. Not only is this diversity favorable, but it is necessary for human life to exist. When species go extinct, entire ecosystems fail when one key part is missing from the balance. This is the big picture of diversity. The difference is not just in humans, but in every living thing on our planet. Keeping this in mind, please rise as you are able and join in singing hymn number 175. We celebrate the web of life.
Be who you are, and may you be blessed in all that you are.